Okay, the title for this one, and it probably ought to be a part one, is The Elder Son's Agenda and the Father's. And you can see a person's agenda by their actions and their words and their attitudes, and I'll need you to forgive my voice because I had a really bad coughing episode and my vocal cords were ripped out. So, anyway, hopefully all will be fine. It was really swollen in there, but I think it's gone down a bit. So, praise God. Okay, the Elder Son's Agenda and the Father's. And let's go to Luke 15 so that we can look at a few verses here. Let's just start at verse 11. Because we might as well look at the prodigal son's agenda also. Verse 11, and he said, this is Jesus speaking, he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. Okay, and then let's go down to let's look at verse 20. This is still speaking of the prodigal. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Okay. Now let's go down to verse 25. And his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came out his father and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. All right, so I have notes here, but just real basic look shows you that both the agenda of the prodigal son and the agenda of the father and the agenda of the elder son are all very different, except the two sons really are the same. They have the same agenda, and that is in relationship to themselves and this world. Okay, that's pretty obvious. The prodigal son says, give me your stuff, okay? And he takes it and he goes out and he thinks he's going to have a great time and that everything's going to be wonderful, and then it turns bad. The elder son says, you never gave me. And see, he's not saying, you never killed the fatted calf so that we could have a feast together, so that we could be together, so that we could sup of the same thing, so that we could partake of this sacrifice that you sacrificed, which was his son, the son. and that we may sit down together and enjoy this, and you can enjoy, and that rejoicing is, you can enjoy, or you can rejoice that I'm with you, that I'm fellowshipping with you, that I see what's important to you. None of that. He says, you never gave me so that I might have my friends and my party, not feast, but party. Okay. All right. So the father, on the other hand, he goes out to both of his sons. He wants the son. He's after the son. That is the father's goal. That is all that matters, is that he wants the son. And now what you have to realize is this, is that the father has always had his son, right? Before the foundation of the world, they were together. It was Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So what is this thing of wanting his son when he's always had his son? Well, there's a difference. This time he wants his son in us. He'd like for us to come into this feast. He'd like for us to comprehend what is truly in the Father's heart. And when I say comprehend, I don't mean have it taught or even see some scriptures that seem to do that. That would be a little bit like let's just say one of the sons writes a letter to another son and starts trying to describe the Father's heart. Well, you can get a certain amount of that, but the best way to know his heart is to know his heart, is to know him, it's contact, it's finding something, get ready, outside the earth. Finding something valuable outside the earth. Now, is that hard for us? Yes, you'd be right. Well, it is. It's hard for us because we are earthbound creatures, and so we draw whatever we draw from, we draw it from the earth, and it doesn't matter. I mean, one person can be an alcoholic, one person can use drugs, one person, you know, whatever. There's some thing that feeds something in them. You know, a new dress can make you happy. Not you, Mike, but, you know. Mike goes, I just got here. You already started. That was a good thing. Perfect. So, you know, a letter, which really is the scriptures, isn't it? It's a letter. But there is a way to go beyond the scriptures, and I don't mean beyond what the truth of the scriptures is. I just mean into a real understanding of the heart of the Father. And we've discussed that at some length, but even discussing it is like a letter. There has to be something on the inside of someone, and let me just say it like this, has to be something on the inside of someone somewhere. I was part of Berea, and there were hundreds upon hundreds of people. Everybody there seemed like they were pursuing the Lord until something came up, failure on the part of the leadership, and everybody abandoned ship. And I'm standing there as they're pulling out, going to talking to my teachers, where are you going? Well, you know, there's sin in the house or this or that. And I said, you taught me that we lay down our life, that's not the issue. What the thing is that we, by the cross, are able to go through this and bring forth Christ. That this crisis is actually could be something that brings forth the glory of the Lord. As they pulled on out, you know. You can't imagine the shock to me. And it wasn't just one. It was a bunch of them. And, you know, it took me years to understand how people can teach the cross and violate it when something major comes up. It was like, I don't get this. I don't get this at all. But later, the Lord began to share with me that getting it in doctrine and in teaching is not the same as being got by it. And that's the truth. When it gets you, you're got. But if you're still trying to get it, you don't have it yet. You know what I mean? I mean, and, you know, again, this is the same thing I always say. There's no condemnation in that, although apparently people have condemnation in it. But there's no condemnation in that. That's just the natural course of human nature. But there's supposed to be something within our hearts that came in there when we were born again that says, I want to know the Lord deeper. Or, because the life of Christ would say, you know, press on to know the Father. Know the Father, you know. You know, Jesus, I just like some of the things Jesus said about the Father when he said, you know, no man knows the Father except the Son. And no man knows the Son except the Father. Well, let's see, I think he said, no man knows the Son except the Father. No man knows the Father except the Son and him to whom I will reveal him. Revealing the Father. A Son revealing the Father. The Son revealing the Father. We're talking about way greater than a breakthrough. Because a breakthrough breaks down eventually. It does, you know. Have you ever gotten into a good place spiritually and it didn't last? Good. I was just looking around going, how many liars we got here that won't admit it? You know, I mean, my God, we've all done that. And I know for me over the years in that condition, when it would happen, I would just start freaking out because I hated the fact that I put in all of that and I'm letting it slip away on such a, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's so hard to get back. You know what I'm saying. I mean, really. Okay, well, if it can slip away, though, it still hadn't got us, right? And that would be a good thing to admit. And that would be a good thing to say, okay, then I don't have it yet. I don't. And I don't want to lie to myself. And I don't want myself to think that I've got it just because I saw some things in the Word. And I used to say that to myself in Bible school. Just because I've seen some things in the Word. Because, you know, I think John the Baptist, you know, was real good because he's the one to declare Jesus, you know, not just his coming, but Jesus, and to point to him. And you know, there's coming one, and he is so much more than me. I am not worthy. Oh, where'd we get that from? Prodigal son. I am not worthy to unloose his. And there, that is like the beginning of a process. It was for him because he said that in the hog pen. So that's not the victory, if I may use charismatic terminology. That's not getting the victory. Getting the victory is when you see the Father, and it's so cool because the way that the prodigal son story tells it and the way 1 Corinthians 3:18 tell it, it's different but the same. It is the same in that you look in the Father's face and you see the Son who is in you. It's, and in Corinthians, you look in Jesus' face and you see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, not his glory. Okay. So it's different in who you're seeing depending on who you're looking at. Blake called me today and we talked just before I got here, and he had sent me a text conversation that he was having with somebody. And Blake is kind of over a group of young people from 18 to 30, and they're broke up in three different groups. And so he's been digging into the Word. I mean, he is going after God, and a bunch of you know Blake. So if you can imagine now him really really going after the Lord. What a blessing. So he calls me. Well, he sends us this thing, and I read it, and he's going back and forth with this person, not in a negative way, but just sharing. And he, you know, they're saying something about, well, you know, I guess, you know, the point of, you know, being a Christian is, you know, that we do right so we can go to heaven. And Blake is going, you know, the whole point is that we glorify God. It's about him, not about us. And I'm going, ah! And he just was really hitting it over and over, because this person would come back with another thing and he would say it. And again, this wasn't a negative conversation from the other person. They're just asking questions. And Blake is just laying it down there. And not that he's necessarily come to a revelation of Christ or whatever yet, but there's a heart drawn reality that's at work in him. And so he calls me and he just goes, I want to, you know, what is the deal with this? And what is the deal with that? And, you know, I get to tell him, you know, he says, So what's going on right now is sanctification, right? And he said, that's what I told them. And I said, yes, it is. And so I said, now, what's your definition of sanctification, you know? And began to talk to him about Christ being formed in you. And but anyway, there, you know, there has to be a drive. And the drive can't be, I want to impress this person, or I want to do this because this is what's expected of me, or if I do this, it will make me look like I fit in, or I'll be important if I do this, or all of that stuff. My God, I'm just telling you right now, I'm trying to save some of your lives, because that is wrong to the core. And it'll get you nowhere except in the hog pen eventually. You have to abandon yourself. You have to say, and you know, self can't abandon self, but you can start telling self to shut up or what, you know what I mean? You know, you can start, you know, I've said before, you need to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. you know, because you're not a good counselor for yourself. You know, and you need to start doing a little talking back to yourself and say, hold up there, Skippy. We ain't going there, you know. And so these are hard issues. And, you know, while Christ may not be revealed in you, do you know if you're born again, you have a new heart and it can actually start coming out, and it can have, you know, what's heart man look like? He's got two little arms. He can start reaching out for Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you, you know. Because your heart has Christ in it, that he can dwell in your heart. But your mind has Satan. Well, let's just, okay, you don't really have Satan himself in there. But let's just put it like this. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. And it comes up with, you know, it justifies, it comes up with all kind of stuff. We all do it. And it justifies stuff, and there has to be, you know, either the word has to be strong enough in you that it can speak, or the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll speak in tongues and then you'll be happy in church. No, he didn't say that. He didn't even mention tongues or gifts or whatever. He said when he comes, he's going to testify me. He will take that which is of me and show it unto you. So fill up on the word, and don't be lax in searching the scriptures. And, you know, use little time. See, we're not motivated yet. We're not really, little times in between lunch or driving down the road, man, get some CDs that's the Word of God's on it or something. I mean, I've told a few people here, get CDs with the Word on it and put it on and go to sleep with that on, because your spirit is not asleep, and you'll be surprised how much of the Word gets in you. And keep a flow going. And if you do it long enough, the Spirit of God start bringing up scriptures that you go, I didn't even know I knew that scripture. Where's that at? I mean, it's really, really true. And then eventually, oh my God, he'll start revealing Christ in scriptures you're not even thinking about or had no thought of. But that's, you know, if the passion's dead, the honeymoon's over. So we have to awaken our heart. Awaken my heart. I want my heart to awaken. As we said before, we're going to have to do things in this world, but we don't have to surrender to it. We don't have to lay down to it and let it have control. It's like when we'd go to Mardi Gras, and I'll end with this because I know we're done now. We go to Mardi Gras, and then we'd tell people, I would tell people, well, we go down to Mardi Gras and minister, and they go, well, that's the devil's territory. The devil's down there. And I go, that's why we go there. You know, they go, oh, didn't think of that. You know what I mean? Like, let's just run from the devil and only give him this little tiny, you know, only give Jesus this little place because we're too busy running from the devil because he claims everything. Go for the Lord. All right, let's take a break.